people say that I have shed innocent blood. What's blood for, if not for shedding?
I just can't take no pleasure in killing. Just some things you gotta do. Don't mean you have to like it.
There's nothing to worry about. You're gonna be just fine. I'm your number one fan.
Let her get away, Mommy.
Welcome to another edition of Horrifying My Friends. I'm Horror Host Trav, aka the Captain Creature. And joining me, as always, is the theme queen herself, Producer Kate.
Hello.
I was back. A little rusty on that, man. Yeah. It's been a while since we've... What was the last episode that we recorded? I think it was... There's been a lot of shit that's gone on in November and December.
Deep Red, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's Deep Red, yeah. November movie. Now we're in the month of December, of course, so it's all winter all the time, all Christmas all the time.
Yeah.
How have you been, ma'am? You came in with a limp. What's going on with that?
Well, part of the reason we've been gone so long is, like, I've got little kids, and they brought influenza A and every other virus, I think, on the planet.
Yeah, you had, like, A through Z.
Yeah, I was sick for, like, 3 or 4 weeks. And then, like, you're... Dad had a major surgery, mm-hmm. and there's been like a lot of things just delaying us getting on the pod. And I recently found out I did something bad to my back, and so I'm just hobbling around like I'm mm-hmm. in my 60s and in my 30s. So that's cool. Just, you know, holiday time. Mm-hmm. What better time to be in, like, decrepit?
Yeah, it's a stressful time of the year. Like, everyone seems stressed, right?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, as stressful and, like, draining as it has been, being, like, sick all the time and then having physical stuff and family stress. But, like, my kids are a really cute age for Christmas right now. Mm-hmm. Like, my eldest is getting really, really into it. She's 3, almost 4. And that's, like, it does kind of bring a little bit of light to the to the crazy and to the stress.
Yeah,
and it makes all the, like, stress I go through to make Christmas special worth it.
Yeah,
because she's really, really happy and really excited about everything.
Yeah, working in retail this time of the year, you see, like, bunch of stressed people. Like, this dude last night, we were like, he was asking me for a discount on this chair, and the chair was, like, barely scratched, first of all, and I was like, I could probably give you, like, 10% off. And he like just started about ranting about being in the military. And I was like, what is his problem, dude?
What did he want? Special treatment?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we get those whack jobs every now and then. Listeners know where I work, so it's no surprise that we get people ranting about ammo and shit from time to time.
Oh, my God.
but, yeah, like you said, my dad had open heart surgery, so that went well, thankfully, but very, very stressful. Just like for me, a time of the year that, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but a time of the year that I'm starting to like more and more, like, as I grow older. Of course I loved it as a kid too, but, you know, I don't know. It seems like it's, like, the second best time of the year for horror, is Christmas. I don't know. What have we been watching though? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you start.
Okay. So we watched Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. It just came out on Netflix.
I haven't watched it yet.
So it's a stop motion that took over, like, 15 years to make, is what he said. Like, whoa. 4 years to film, I think. It's kind of weird because I don't think that I've ever seen the Disney version.
What?
I don't think I have, yeah.
Well, honestly, that one's pretty dark in itself.
Yeah. No, this one, like, I mean, you take that one, though, and, like, because Rose definitely has, and she was like, yeah, that's definitely not in there. Like, there's, like, a wood sprite in this one, and death is in this one, and, you know, Guillermo del Toro, so there's, like, cool mythology death shit, or, you know, cool mythology, I shouldn't say death shit, but, like, cool mythology stuff.
Folklore
like kind of stuff. The death creature design is fucking amazing, because, like, Pinocchio dies a couple times in the movie. That's not spoiler, and, you know, he can't really die, I guess. But he goes to this place, like, when he dies, he goes to this place where, like, rabbits are playing cards and shit. And then it's just, like, craziness. And I was like, holy shit, man, I don't think this is in the original version. But it's just, like, very dark. They incorporate a lot because it's set in Italy and, like, during World War I. So there's a lot of, like, Mussolini like fascism stuff too. Mm-hmm. And you know, playing that against like the puppet on the string, you know, metaphor and stuff like that. It's very, very cool, very dark. I don't know if I would recommend it for kids, to be honest with you. Like, and he's even come out and said, like, it's not a babysitter movie, quote unquote, is what he said. I don't think I would recommend it for kids, though, like, because there's a lot of, like, there's definitely death in it. There's that, like, weighty topics, you know, as far as, like, death, you know, as far, like you said, the regular Pinocchios probably deals with some of that stuff, too. But I think this one even more so. You said you haven't got a chance to check it out?
No. It barely got advertised, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. It was, like... I saw one ad and I was like, oh, that looks good. And then I never saw it again, which is very unusual for advertising.
Usually I was going into my phone to look up a picture of the Pinocchio and MILF Manor was Googled. Have you heard of that fucking show?
No.
There's a new show on TLC called MILF Manor. And I was like, what the fuck is that? What? I'm sure our own
well,
producer
what,
Kate.
What is it? That.
MILF Manor is a show where 8 moms... for anybody that doesn't know what MILF means, 8 moms, older ladies, and 8 younger gentlemen. Like, it's like a dating show or whatever on TLC.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch that.
I was like, say, I. So back to Pinocchio, though, away from MILF Manor. So the thing that I love most about this one was like how crude Pinocchio looks.
Yeah.
Like, he looks very, very crude. Very, you know, not
yeah, crudely carved. He's not yeah. like super buffed yeah, and polished and painted him.
And his
smooth.
dad creates him like when he's drunk and shit. So there's like a reason there too for him being that way.
That's its own commentary.
Dude, oh my God. I was fucking bawling, you can ask Rose. Like, I was just like my whole face was like just wet with tears. And I was bawling because there's a lot of stuff about like imperfect fathers, imperfect sons, you know, like, and that's good, you know, mm-hmm. like being imperfect and stuff. It's just a good movie, man. Like, I would recommend it to really anyone. But yeah, that's the main thing I just checked out, I would say. A lot of Christmas horror, of course, like the Black Christmas, classic Black Christmas. I watched Silent Night, Deadly Night the other night.
That one was good. I liked when you guys introduced us to that one.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah, so I watched quite a bit while we've been gone. I watched all of Yellow Jackets and okay. really, really liked it. I know I'm like late to the bandwagon on that one. I also watched, it's a comedy on Hulu. I haven't watched a lot of horror, I will be honest with you. I guess mm-hmm. Yellow Jackets you could consider horror. It's a horrifying like kind of mm-hmm. premise, and there's some really weird, spooky stuff that kind of happens. On the funny side of things, a show called Reboot on Hulu. So it's mm-hmm. about these like writers. It's like a daughter and her estranged father. They're both writers in Hollywood, and she's rebooting one of his old shows and like totally turning it on its head, and like kind of exposing him for being a bad father and stuff. But then mm-hmm. they also end up kind of coming together and bonding, and then there's all the other sort of characters that play the actors. It's a very kind of behind the scenes, you know, style. It reminds me of a little bit of what's that show Lisa Kudrow did where she, The Comeback?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but less, it's not like documentary style. But anyway, it's pretty funny. It's cute. There's a lot of really famous people in it. That's all I'll say about that. And then I've watched, of course, Love Island Australia.
Oh.
And a lot of just, you know, reruns of things. Brian's been watching Seinfeld and a bunch of other stuff. So,
all right, the classics. Mm-hmm. The classics. So before we get started tonight, the new Christmas horror to look out for, this one just dropped on Shudder and it's in select theaters. This is Joe Bago's Christmas Bloody Christmas. So the synopsis: it's Christmas Eve and fiery record store clerk Tori Toombs just wants to get drunk and party, don't we all? Until the robotic Santa Claus at a nearby toy store goes haywire and makes her night more than a little complicated. Santa embarks on a rampant killing spree through the neon-drenched snowscape, ultimately forcing Tori into a blood-splattered battle for survival. So I've heard this is like Terminator meets like, you know, Silent Night, Deadly Night or something like that, you know. It looks fun, though. I'm a fan of, you know, his other movies like Bliss and VFW. He's made some pretty good movies. But that's on Shudder right now, so check that out immediately. I have not checked it out. I will get back to you guys and give you guys my review on that one. Okay, so the next part of the show is going to be a bit about Christmas. Like, so my first question to you, Kate, what does Christmas mean to us? So this is kind of like a very broad question, I know, but, if you want, I can go first. If you want, if not, you can kind of just say like what it kind of means to you, what it, is it any different than what it meant to you as a kid, you know, being a mother now?
Yes. Well, I will say what's always been consistent throughout my life is like, the whole Jesus, it being Jesus's birthday and the whole like religious component of yeah. Christmas has never really been emphasized or uh-huh. really acknowledged strongly in my family.
Interesting.
Well, just, yeah, we're not very religious, you know, as a family.
Yeah.
And I would argue I'm not at all. But anyway. Yeah.
I'm not either, but I think.
But what I do enjoy is the traditions, right?
Yeah,
I,
no, for sure.
I enjoy the nostalgia I have around gift giving. I love the traditions. I love baking, you know, all the Christmas cookies. And I love sort of going and seeing the lights and things. And those are all things I am enjoying as a mom now, sort of recreating for my kid. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy like the lead up to Christmas and sort of the anticipation of giving gifts and stuff almost more than I do like Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I think I've always been a little bit like that. What about you?
Yeah. So I can't like remember so much about like childhood. I don't know. Maybe my brother can chime in as far as like, I remember my mom used to always like let us open up one gift. My dad always got like really pissed about it because my dad was always like the wait till Christmas, like uh-huh. you got to wait till Christmas. But yeah, to me, like now I kind of like Christmas a little bit more than I did like kind of a decade or so ago. Cause I was always getting down about it, you know, and shit, like I'm the Halloween guy and stuff like that. But I don't know. To me, like, there's this creepiness about it, too. Like, and I'm not trying to be, like, the edgy guy. Or maybe I am. But there's just, like, a creepiness about it. Like, this, he sees you when you're sleeping. If you just listen to the lyrics of a lot of these, like, Christmas songs, and the idea of Santa creeping into your house while everybody's asleep.
It
like,
is creepy.
Dude, this big guy, like, creeping into your house while everybody's sleeping. The shelf elves to me are very, very creepy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else sees them as a lot of creepy lore, you know, to Christmas time, like, you know, Krampus, of course, and a couple others. But yeah, to me, you know, Rose and I don't have kids. So it's, to me, it's kind of like, the nieces and nephews and watching them, you know, Christmas is a very much a, like a kid's holiday, you know, and, that kind of gets me into my next question. What age were you when you discovered the great lie?
The great lie Santa? That Santa's not real. This is an embarrassing story, I guess, for me. I don't know. I'm not embarrassed.
You were
I'm
19.
Not embarrassed. No. Not that bad. I'm not embarrassed. It's just that like as a kid I was very like trusting. Like when it came to my uh-huh. parents, like I trusted them. Like infinitely, right?
Yeah.
And I think I just, my older sister finally kind of was like, sat me down and was like, Kate, listen, I gotta tell you, Santa's not real. Like, wow. it's just been mom and dad this whole time. And now, like, my mind was blown. I think I was like between 10 and 11, mm-hmm. Which is kind of old. Like, the fact yeah. that nobody at school had spoiled it for me at that point, or it's possible I had heard some kids talk about how Santa maybe wasn't real or something, but like, I was just like, oh, no, my parents would not lie to me. You know, and so when my sister sat me down and told me that, like, I was like, oh my God, mom and dad have lied to me my whole life. Like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was like kind of an existential thing, like as a kid to be like, oh my God, I've been lied to by the people who like told me never to lie. So I will say I'm having some issues like myself thinking about like, I'm creating magic and stuff for my kid now, but there's going to come a time.
I'll be ripped away.
Yeah, there's going to come a time where she's like, wow, mommy, you lied to me. Yeah. So I know it's coming, but uh-huh. obviously it wasn't like the most damaging thing that ever happened yeah. in my life, so it's okay. But yeah, I would say I was one of those kids. The magic lasted for me a long time before somebody spoiled it, just because I was like, there's no way my parents would be lying about this.
I think I was like 8 or 9, I believe. And I think yeah. it was, what was that? 8, so 9 is probably what, 4th grade? Like 3rd or 4th grade? And I think it was just one of those.
Mine is third for sure.
Yeah. So third grade, something like that. I think it was just like one of those, like, dudes on the playgrounds are pricks and you're just like, you know, talking about it being fake or whatever.
Yeah.
My dad did a great job though, like bringing a whole conspiracy angle to it. Like he would like put out a boot or something, or like tell me that a boot was left or something like that. Like Santa dropped his boot. And that little like nugget kind of like kept me through, like, holy shit. Like, did he really come?
There's evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. That probably made
my
me,
parents
like,
did that too. There were Santa footprints in the snow one year, and there was they did this with the Easter Bunny too. There was like you know, the cottontail of the Easter mm-hmm. Bunny, like the dog got the cottontail of the Easter Bunny or something, you know, like they really, really tried to keep the lie alive.
Mm-hmm.
A long time with a lot of little tactics, but I know part of me looks back and is like, oh, that's sweet, they tried so hard. But part of it's like, I don't know.
What age do you think is the right age to, like,
I don't know, I don't have the answers. I truly don't. I have some friends who have never done the Santa lie. They you know, they make sure their kids understand, like, let's not spoil it for everybody at school.
Mm-hmm.
But they've very much focused on, you know,
they do the Jesus lie.
No comment. I'm not going to shit on like anyone's religion, but like, I'm kind of with you. Like, it's one lie over another kind of, but at the end of the day, like, I know people who go that route and are like, okay, I have all the presents that you're getting. Those are from your mom and dad, you know. I'm kind of on the other end right now. I didn't really put much thought into it. I had kids and then suddenly they were old enough to understand Santa. And I was like, I guess we're going to do the Santa thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, like, kids are supposed to have a little magic, man. Like, you got to have that kind of shit as a kid. All right, so enough Santa talk.
Yeah.
Let's get into the book rec first. This will be really quick, and then we'll get into our movie of the night, which is Jack Frost. All right, so the book rec. The book rec is The Visitor by Sergio Gomez. So The Visitor is one that I recently picked up. I haven't started it yet. It's kind of reminds me, it's set in Indiana, so that's cool. The synopsis: on Christmas, during one of the worst snowstorms Indiana has ever seen, five strangers are forced to take shelter inside of a roadside diner. So roadside diner, always nice. As the night progresses, the snowfall shows no signs of relenting. Ice begins to build up on the roads, and the temperature seems to be dropping by the hour. But the worst has nothing to do with the weather, and everything to do with the sixth visitor coming to the diner. The jolliest time of year quickly turns bloody as the diners find themselves fighting for their lives. This Christmas won't just be white, it'll be red too. Ooh. And it looks like a... kind of like an alien, you know, coming to Christmas.
Yeah, that looks the like front an cover. Alien silhouetted against a Christmas tree.
So it kind of reminded me of that Twilight Zone episode of, like, you're in a diner and you're trying to figure out who the alien is, kind of thing. But yeah, The Visitor by Sergio Gomez. So tonight's movie, Kate, Jack Frost, the definitive version of Jack Frost, I might add. 1997, directed by Michael Cooney. Cast: Scott McDonald as Jack Frost, Christopher Alpert as Sam Tiller, Stephen Mandel as Agent Manners, and Shannon Elizabeth as Jill. After an accident that left murderer Jack Frost dead in genetic material, the vengeful killer returns as a murderous snowman to exact his revenge on the man who sent him to be executed. All right, so this movie didn't have much trivia, but a little connection kind of slash trivia here. So this Jack Frost came out at around the same time as the Jack Frost starring Michael Keaton, just 1 year apart. I hope to God you didn't watch that one.
No.
I think that one came out a year later. A little video story for you. Me and my buddies used to go to the local video store, which was like Family Video or Blockbuster, whatever you had in your area, or here it was Family Video and Blockbuster. And this had a very, like, iconic VHS cover, like one of the most of, like, that era, I would say. So what we would do as little douchebags is, like, take this Jack Frost and put it behind the Michael Keaton one, so that when someone rented that one, you know, you remember, like, the video store days where you had to take the one out back. Yeah. Such a douchebag little thing to do. So many people are probably scarred. A little creepy trivia here for all you creep talk dwellers. Shannon Elizabeth's first role and her first kind of nude scene. I don't know. She's known as like the apple pie girl or whatever. American Pie girl. Yeah. Riff Tracks, Mystery Science Theater 3000 actually covered this flick in their season 8. It's actually a hilarious episode if anybody wants to check that out. So, like I said, not a lot of trivia. They shot this during like a winter where there wasn't apparently any snow. So they had to use a lot of like different stuff to kind of cover the ground and like make it look like snow. So, Kate, we'll get your first impressions of Jack Frost. And this will be an interesting episode because this is very slapstick, slashy kind of movie. So what was your first impression of this one? And had you ever heard of it?
So I had never heard of it. Wow. I had never seen it. I would have been 8 years old when this came out. Mm-hmm. I think, if I do the math right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And had no idea what I was getting into until I saw like the cover art. Like when you, I watched on Amazon. So like when the cover art comes on, it's just like snowman with a creepy smile. And you know, it just looks really like kind of hokey. And so when I was like, okay, so this is either one of Travis's like classic this is meant to be scary but it's funny on accident, or I was like, it's going to be intentionally funny.
And you weren't expecting a masterpiece, were you?
It's no. I was like, this is a slasher, this will be fun.
Yeah.
And it is intentionally funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so. Very slapstick, very self-aware.
Yeah.
Reminded me a little bit of Naked Gun style movie. Yeah. You know, like, which is like absolutely incredible and hilarious and horrible at the same time, one-liners.
Yeah. Oh, throughout. For sure, dude.
So we'll get to some of those of our favorites, but I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching this, and it's just an easy, quick watch. There's one really problematic scene I wish they would have taken out.
All right, what was it? Let's just get it out of the way.
It's the bathtub rape.
Yeah,
scene.
So that one, yeah, that
yeah,
one's
weird. Yeah, because he rapes her with just trigger warning, I guess, like with his carrot nose.
Yeah, that
and,
one's
like,
weird.
Because she's in the bath and like the whole like science, I guess, if you can think of it that way, of him is he can like melt, he can refreeze, he can evaporate, like he can do all kinds of stuff. And so he like she's in the bath and then he freezes his body around her from the water, you know, right?
Yeah.
And that's it's a little bit funny. But it's also very gross as a concept. Like, why does the only young female like get treated that way in the movie? It's like, okay, they could have done better. But I guess you can say it was the 90s.
It was 97 when Biscuit was on the radio.
I don't know. That's the only thing that I was like, absolutely not. Wish it wasn't in there. But everything else is super funny.
There were a lot of scenes in this, like the comedic timing. And I agree, the Shannon Elizabeth one like didn't hold up, you know.
She deserved like, better.
Yeah, it's like one of those moments that you look back on and you're like, that was done in poor taste, perhaps. The comedic timing in this movie I don't think gets enough credit though. Like I think Naked Gun is like a good way to put it. This movie's known, but it should be like well known as far as my opinion goes. I don't know. Like I think this is a great like party movie. Like to put on.
Yes. Oh, a drinking game? 100%.
Yeah.
This is a good friend's Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Or like Christmas Eve or whatever people do.
Yeah, because it's like not too long. It's like an hour and 25 minutes, I think, 26 minutes. And it's fucking hilarious. Like a lot of quotable lines. Why don't we get like a basic kind of plot rundown? And then we'll kind of give like some of our favorite scenes. And, you know, like I said, you can't really talk about this one too much. Like it just has to be seen.
Yeah, you can't talk about it. And there's not like a very complex plot. I mean, it's very ridiculous, but it's not complex in the end.
Yeah.
So I'll talk most about the beginning and the setup because that's what you need to understand how all this stuff can be possible with a snowman. But yeah, so it starts out, I would just want to say, very much it's in the credits, you know, the opening credits where they're going, there you see beautiful Christmas trees and lights and things. And there's the creepiest little girl voice I've ever heard.
It's that was kind of creepy too.
Yeah, just being like, Uncle Henry, tell me a story or whatever. And he tells the story of Jack and it gets like progressively darker, and ultimately he's kind of giving you the setup of, you know, of this serial killer, Jack. So he's like, Jack would get up, eat something, then hurry off and kill someone. Because that's what he did. He killed people. He'd stick knives in their faces and cut out their tummies. You have to keep in mind, this is a little kid he's telling this to. And stamp on their heads till their brains are all runny. And then basically describes a town-skipping serial killer who started like baking his victims into pies and things, which I don't know if that's true, but... Or it's meant to be true if it was just like part of the
first of all the
whimsy of the way he's retelling it. But yeah, the cops apparently caught this guy because he got sloppy and he was given the death penalty. This sheriff, who's a huge part of this, the sheriff of this town that now is being terrorized, is the one who caught him on like a traffic stop. And on this night, he's being transported to be executed.
Because, of course, there's like a blizzard and he's being transported. Yes. I loved how the cops were like looking out the little window. Like, it's just so fucking hilarious.
So he's kind of this like greaser looking, like Elvis-y type guy, like serial killer guy. He's pretty big and imposing. And like I said, he's being transported. And of course, there's a big car accident and he escapes, gets out. And you think, like, oh, he's going to get out and he's going to go and slash a nearby town, you know. But that's not what happens. He ends up being, like, some kind of government experiment, acid of some kind. I don't know. Yeah. There's some kind of, like, mystery liquid that gets, like, kind of sprayed all over, like, spilled on him. And he shrivels and dies. And then his cells can, like, reanimate into the snow and water and, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, he basically has become immortal, is what you find out. Like, the FBI is talking, you know, like, they become involved in the whole case, you know.
Yeah, I think, like, one of the lines, because they introduce Stone, I guess, who's, like, the guy chasing him. And he's like, who are you, CIA? And he goes, yeah, let's go with that. Like, very seriously.
Right.
Shit.
It's some government agency, and they have these agents that are like, you know, they were testing this liquid, and now it's been tested on a human, and they found out, like, it worked, but it's also, like, they created a monster.
Yeah.
Out of a guy who was already a monster, I guess. And so his first order of business, now that he's become, you know, omniscient and omnipotent, and, like, he can also, like, just... do all these crazy things. We'll
talk
about
apparently do anything.
Yeah, we'll talk about the physics of it, I guess, as we talk about the scenes. But he goes to terrorize the town, and specifically the sheriff, who is the reason he was being, you know, executed, and the reason he's in the situation he's in, because he always vowed that he would come back and ruin him and his family or whatever. So the sheriff, he's a like much loved guy by this small town he lives in. Well-respected, well-loved. He has a young son who's like 8 or 9 years old, I don't know, and a wife. And everyone in town knows each other. Everyone in town knows him. And basically from there, he shows up as a snowman. And the sheriff's son is being bullied by some older teenagers who have really no business talking to little kids, let alone terrorizing them. But that's what they did in the 90s, I guess. And his first kill is what sets it all off. And the older kids are, the bullies are sledding. And this one kid in particular named Billy, I think, is sledding. And the snowman basically finds a way to behead him as he's being, or like run over his head or behead him or something. I don't know. Do you remind me what happens? But yeah, he basically gets his head, you know, squished or chopped off, and it's like super traumatizing for everyone. But no one's actually seems to be as scarred as they should be, because it's a comedy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what sets everything off, because they're accusing this kid that, you know, the sheriff's kid, of being like this murderer capable of something like this. And so the whole town is on edge because this like horrible murder. Some people think it's an accident or whatever. So
yeah, they find
that's what sets it off, and then he just goes on a killing spree. Really,
it was so fucking ridiculous and hilarious when they were they found that old man. Remember, like frozen on his porch.
Yes.
And they were talking about how like there's a serial killer in town, and like the cops are like being very, you know, over the top serious and shit. And I'm like, the dude is like frozen in his chair. Like, you know, his head's
all the way back at an angle, and yeah. They're like, the coroner is like explaining it very CIA or CSI like, yeah. You know, like the old CSI shows, like, it seems like the blunt force trauma like pushed his head all the way back and killed him, but like there's no weapon. It's almost like something soft did it. And yeah. Like, okay, yeah, we know it was a snowman, so like get on with it. But yeah, I mean. Do you want me to talk about how it ends, and then we can kind of talk about favorite scenes? Because there's no point in going scene by scene, because we're going to talk about our favorites.
For sure,
Because it is just it is a slasher. There's a bunch of killing and a bunch of hilarity, a bunch of one-liners. And the way that they defeat him, or so you think, at the end is the sheriff's son has this tendency to make like these crazy concoctions in the kitchen. And his dad that morning had taken this baggie, like a Ziploc baggie of like disgusting oatmeal that his son had made him, just as like a, you know, parents do this all the time. You just kind of humor your kids when they give you something gross. You're like, you're not actually gonna eat it, but you're just like, yeah, I'll take it with me. Yeah. So he had it in his car, and he like uses it against like on a whim against the snowman, and it starts to like melt him or hurt him, like burn him away, I don't know. And he's like, what'd you put in the oats, son? And he was like, I put antifreeze in it. I just didn't want you to get cold. And so they figure out antifreeze can kind of defeat him or weaken him, like I don't know. And so the whole town, like at first they try hair dryers, and that kind of works because they think they like have evaporated him, but he could just reform, you know. So that didn't really work. And then the antifreeze, they find this big truck apparently full of antifreeze for the roads.
There's big trucks full of everything in this small town.
And they dunk him in it, and there's a kind of a funny scene where his arm got left out, and the little kid is like, you forgot his arm, daddy. And they're like, no. And the arm starts choking out the little kid. So they dunk the little kid in the arm in this antifreeze. And they think they've gotten him and it's all done. But, you know, at the end, they do the classic.
Yeah, of course, you know, we know. He returns in Jack Frost 2.
Ha, ha, ha. He's coming back.
The Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman is the title of Jack Frost 2. Tagline, he's icing and slicing. The tagline for this one, by the way, I think I know. He's chilling and killing. Yeah, so that was
chilling
the
and killing.
That was the cover of the VHS.
Oh, God.
So some of our favorite scenes. I have to start with, I think it's like the, I don't know if it's the deputy or just one of the second cops, but it's the scene where he fucking backs up the car over him. Mm-hmm. He like formed that. Dude, that scene had me fucking dying. Because like I said, I watched this back in the day, but I hadn't rewatched it in like years, man. But that scene, he like gets out to like check in the trunk or something. And, cause there's like a roadside kind of something like a cone or something. And then Jack Frost kind of manifests himself in the front seat and then backs up over him. And the fucking image is so hilarious. Yeah, here it is. Yeah. He's just like looking out the car window. So you just see a snowman with a little fucking angry grin. And I love his little like eyebrows, cause they're like kind of pointed down to where they look scary, you know? But yeah, Jack Frost is just the fucking king in this, but yeah, that has to be one of my favorite scenes. I'll let you go, and then I'll give another favorite scene
before I talk about this next scene. I want to first point out that this little thing that I just thought was, I don't know, I was cackling about it. I think it's one of the early one-liners. There's plenty, but like the sheriff is like, can't get a hold of the secretary at like, you know, the police station or whatever. And he comes in and he's like kind of, you know, frustrated with her. And he's like, I can't get a hold of you. You're not using the phone. Somebody like, what? Did somebody die? Mm. And she holds up a paper that just says somebody died. I don't know why that thought was funny. But the scene I want to talk about is with Billy's dad. So Billy was the bully who was killed in a very bloody way. So Billy's dad and his mom are back at home after, you know, screaming at the sheriff. They're back at home, and you find out Billy's dad is a little crazy, and, you know, probably on a good day he was crazy. Mm-hmm. Also, it's worth pointing out the hot girl. What?
Shannon Elizabeth.
Yeah, yeah. What's, I don't know her character's name.
Jill, I believe.
Jill.
Yeah.
Was also Billy's older sister. But anyway, Billy's dad's going crazy. He's at home. His wife's name's Sally. He goes, Sally keeps suggesting really, like, weird stuff. Like, it's not what you would think a mother who just tragically lost her son, you know,
like, that's what Rose saying. Pointed out. Like, she was a little nutter.
Yeah. Like, it was like, yeah. But she's also just like probably dealing with this man her whole life. She's like, I got to keep him calm. Yeah, so I don't know. But at one point, Billy's dad goes, Sally, when I want philosophy, I'll turn on Oprah, finish my scarf. He's just like barking orders at her and being an asshole, like a real asshole. So you don't feel bad when he gets killed. Mm-hmm. But what's funny about his kill is Jack Frost like stuffs an axe like handle down down his throat, and that's what kills him. And then he delivers this line. He goes, I only axed you for a smoke.
Ugh.
And it's like really cringy and like hilarious. That's one of my favorites.
I love the one the coroner like is examining the body, and he goes, they're like talking about like the force that it would take to shove the axe down the guy's throat or something. I got to start with the mom, like the, my second scene would be like Jack Frost manifests himself into the tree. I think like the dad had left at that point, and he manifests himself into the tree and then behind her. And, what does he grab her head and starts like,
he strings lights around her neck.
Yeah. And then starts slamming her head into a, like,
he puts an ornament in her mouth.
Yeah, puts an ornament in her mouth and starts slamming her head against other glass ornaments. And that, like, made me kind of, like, cringy, like, because I hate fucking glass ornaments and shit like that, because I like getting cut by them and shit. I have, a freaky kind of deal about it. But, yeah, just slamming her face into that and then wraps her up on a tree and puts a star on her head.
Yeah. And in this whole time, there's, like, Hawaiian Christmas music kind of in the background, like, that, I don't know, like, I don't know. It's Hawaiian is all I can describe it as. It's kind of like a hula
like,
luau
kind of meet Christmas. Surf music. Christmas or something. Like you said, a lot of one-liners in this. I love when the cops like, thank God it's over or something. And then it cuts to the stone guy and he's like, it started.
Yeah. So they're just the scene where all of these, you know, deputies and the sheriff and a couple other random men, they all go find hair dryers and they have them pointed at him, you know, like you would guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, hey, Jack, what? And then he turns around and and the hair dryers are all there. And Jack's like, what? And then they hit him with the hair dryers. It's just the way they chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like POV and he's seeing like all these people pointing. It's like a fish eye lens too. So it's kind of warped a little bit. And
it's like he's rolling around. Yeah. Like you can kind of roll around with him and shit. Yeah.
It's funny. And then one of my favorite things they did, because it's so ridiculous and slapstick, is this is after the truck hits Jack and they... this is after the antifreeze oat. So he gets out of the car and this big truck rolls up and like hits at full force. It hits Jack, the snowman, at full force and makes him go flying through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's flying through the air, he goes, I can see your house from up here. Do you remember that? As he flies over. I don't know. It's that kind of stuff that's like when you're saying it back, you're like, oh, that's really corny. But it is corny and it's. But it's also really, really funny when you're watching it. And it would be, I don't know, I could think of so many fun, you know, drinking game rules for this movie.
Oh, yeah. This movie would be, like I said, the perfect fucking movie to put on. Yeah.
Every time there's a funny one-liner, you drink.
Well, I was going to say, so the Jill scene is problematic.
Oh, do we have to talk about it?
But his quote after it is probably one of the most well-known in this movie.
Do you remember what it was? I forget what he said.
Looks like Christmas came a little early.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I blocked that out.
Your memory just deleted it.
Yeah, because then he he gets his carrot nose from after using it as a penis, I guess. And he like almost acts like he's smoking it and then puts it on. I don't know. I felt
he said, "Oh, I must remember to send flowers."
Yeah, he's that. Just the worst. It's the worst. It's
Jack Frost is canceled. First of all, we didn't even talk about that the serial killer's name is Jack Frost, which is like ridiculous just to even start.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I don't know. Do you have another scene? Or do you think that's...
I don't know. I think those really are the big ones.
Yeah.
There's a lot of silly scenes with, like, the FBI getting involved and, like, they're trying to, you know, solve everything. You see a lot of behind the scenes where the, you know, the sheriff and the deputies are trying to solve things and stuff. And there's some weird scenes, that, like, where it's, like, your POV as Jack, the snowman, just creeping a little bit Michael Myers-like through the window, like at the sheriff's wife and his son and stuff. Like there's a very threatening vibe about it, but nothing actually really seems to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we hit on the biggest, I think, most memorable scenes.
For sure.
And that really is the movie. It's really not a lot, guys.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, you know, like I said, an hour and a half. But I don't think it was too long, and I don't think, it's pretty damn funny. So do we want to give our ratings, and would you recommend this, you know, for the holiday season?
I'm going to give this a solid 3.5 out of 5. Yeah. Just for general entertainment, funny, quick watch, really, you know, obviously there's the scene I didn't like and everything, and it's not a masterpiece. It's not, you know, it's not winning any Oscars, but for what it was, very entertained. I'd watch it again. I'm looking forward. I'm actually going to make Brian watch it so he can listen to the episode.
Yeah. He would actually really like it.
He would really like it. So yeah, that's what I'm going to give it. And yeah, I'd definitely watch it again.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. 3.5 out of 5 for me. This is a really fun movie. That has a ton of comedic one-liners and like memorable one-liners. A golden one of the VHS era, you know, the late 90s. Jack Frost definitely holds up in my book, and I think we should take a look at the sequel at some point. I think that would be really fun. But yeah, so 3.5s by both of us on Jack Frost. Kate, do you have anything else? Otherwise, I will wrap us up.
I just want to say I'm glad we're back. I missed doing the pod, and it's very fitting that we came back after such a long break with a silly slasher.
For such a masterpiece.
A silly Christmas time slasher.
Oh, yeah. So, as always, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Horrifying My Friends, and on Twitter and TikTok at Horrifying MF. I believe that's right, right?
I think.
Yeah. Also hit me at Capped Creature on Twitter and TikTok. But have a snowball filled week.
Bye.
Horrifying My Friends.